Welcome to Transition, Gadgets 360's gaming and pop culture podcast. In today's episode, we are going to be talking about Microsoft India and Xbox. Now, a bunch of strange things have been happening to the Xbox One in India. That starts with the hardware, the timing of launches of various consoles, and certain games which somehow don't seem to make it to India. Not even on physical and not even on digital. So to talk about this, we have our games editor, that's Rishi Alwani.
Yeah, sup guys.
And the other Xbox fan on the team, that's friend of the podcast, Mikhail Madnani.
Probably the only owner of Life is Strange before the Somme limited edition on Xbox.
In India.
Yes. Let's not compare with the Japan only exclusives I managed to pick up, but what Pranay said.
I'm your host, Pranay Parav. So forget me not. Anyway, go on.
Why would anyone forget you, dude? I mean, you're the minority in this one, you know, because non-Xbox fan.
Yeah, I've been told my face is not very forgetful either. So,
exactly.
Yeah, there you go.
So barring Forza Horizon, Pranay isn't exactly the biggest fan of the Xbox. And that seems to be the case with most of
India.
Come on,
let's not forget Cuphead.
Oh, that too. coming back to what Pranay said, it's been a very strange situation with the Xbox One in India since its launch. To dial back a bit, the Xbox One launched in India in 2014, a whole year after its global release. And it was exclusive to Amazon for the longest time. Reason being, Microsoft said that, people are buying online. People will get a better experience if they're buying it online. We can control inventory better. It'll be a good idea to just sell it on Amazon exclusive. And safe to say that move backfired. The console never sold too well online. Most notorious, 2 weeks after release, at a price of close to $38,000-$40,000, it was discounted by 20% on Amazon. Now, for those of you who are unaware, a 20% discount on gaming hardware, consoles in particular, essentially means that it's being sold at a loss because the margin is not usually more than 10-15%. So the hardware never sold too well, it was exclusive to Amazon for a better part of close to 2 years, and it was an online exclusive close to 2 years, with the second year coming in to Snapdeal, Flipkart, and other online players before being sold on Microsoft's own stores or whatever few Microsoft stores exist. And then finally in 2016, they decided to bring it to physical retail where, you know, people actually buy gaming hardware. So that's the weird side of things on the hardware. And what was interesting is all along the way, everyone from the then Microsoft head Anshu Mohr to Microsoft's own chairman Bhaskar Pramanik, everyone has said that, oh, online's the future. We'll just be selling it online. There's no need to go offline at all. Evidently, there was a lack of business dynamics or understanding of where the market's going compared to Sony. That was with the hardware. With the games, it's been even more amusing because when Microsoft first launched, the pricing was really decent. You could pick up games at a slightly better rate compared to the PS4. There was like a 200-300 price difference, and it was slightly cheaper, all said and done. It also helped matters that Amazon was quick to discount games. So Forza Horizon 2, which was essentially an India Xbox launch title, was available for like 30% off a couple of weeks in. So yeah, good value for money. In terms of software, then what happened in 2015 around the launch of Halo 5, Rise of Tomb Raider, Forza 6, when they went up for pre-order, they were priced at $4,699. Now, that would put it to be more expensive than Call of Duty.
That would be more expensive than Bethesda also.
Yeah, Bethesda, Call of Duty. So they essentially made the blunder of being exceptionally expensive, and it didn't help matters because eventually the $4,699 price ended up dropping quite steeply in months to come. So that was a really stupid move, but that happened. And 2016 was basically them trying to make amends with retail, making sure the game's available at retail. So we saw some interesting titles come in. But by and large, it was pretty much a quiet year for Xbox. 2017 was also a point of amusement because that's when they had Forza Horizon 3. That's when they had Gears of War 4. And you'd think that they'd want to make a big push with those two titles, considering how popular racing games are and considering how popular the Gears of War franchise has been. But there were at least multiple people at retail were telling us that there was a situation where Microsoft was saying, take as many copies as you want, we don't care where you sell it, which basically implied that they were fine with people re-exporting games, which usually doesn't work, which basically meant that you can play on the currency exchange, export games to other countries and make a profit. But obviously these are unsubstantiated. This is what we've heard from, you know, retailers who definitely have an axe to grind with Microsoft. But that was a popular sentiment at the time. So it seems that a lot of people had an axe the grind with Microsoft. And who can blame them? There was little support at retail at the time, despite them saying so. And aside from software, even in terms of hardware, 2016 is when the One S launched globally. But hey, India wasn't a part of the launch party. We never got the One S on time. In fact, we got the One S a year and 3 months later, which is really, really weird. They had some weird launch event in Delhi where it was live streamed, and they talked about how Xbox is selling well, which seems to be contrary to what's actually going on. And then after that, in 2018, February, they finally launched the One X with a renewed commitment to physical retail and retail in general, where they said that their consoles and hardware and games and peripherals would be available across 100 stores. And that's what they said. And now we're in, at the time of recording this podcast, we're at the end of March. So it's been almost a month since then. And the early signs seem to be exceptionally disturbing. Mike, take it away.
So yeah, like what I've seen is looking at various retail stores, both like in, at least in Mumbai, like across Mumbai, every store seems to have one Xbox One X console there. And that's it. Like an Xbox One S is like either there or not there. And the One X is probably like one of two units which they received, which is still not sold. With games, it's very, very bad at retail, at least because even talking to retail salespeople who sell games, you're usually met with, are you sure you want this game if you're buying it on Xbox? Like even when you order stuff from Games Shop, it's like, or even Amazon, if you don't pre-order something on Xbox One, there's a high chance you're not going to get it, even when it comes to third-party games. Because if you look at Dragon's Dogma Dark Arisen, I had to actually like find a third-party seller on Amazon because it was sold out after launch or soon after launch at the normal, like sold by Amazon and sold by Games Shop. And Games Shop is owned by the distributor of Capcom games. So yeah, you'd think they'd have more stock than the other stores. But yeah, that's what happened. There are a lot of third-party games, even in recent times, like Metal Gear Survive, which didn't release at all at retail in India on Xbox One. It's just available on PS4. In fact, Life is Strange Before the Storm Limited Edition is 199 across all platforms. The Xbox One version, I had pre-ordered it, so thankfully I got it, but it's never been available outside that. It's sold out, but PS4 and PC edition is easily available online right now. And the situation becomes even worse when you look at... like Super Lucky's Tale released a few months ago. At the time, we had no idea it was coming at retail. We reviewed it, like at least both Gadget360 and I reviewed it. And I just found it on Amazon when I was searching for something else on Xbox. It was just listed at $1,499 on Amazon, and it's still available, including those other Kinect remasters. But no one knows that these things exist. Retail stores don't have them. They had no idea the game even made it here. And now we have Microsoft's first big exclusive of 2018. Sea of Thieves, not available at retail, not listed anywhere. No one knows if it's coming. And yeah, it's like not looking good after the big launch where apparently Microsoft was committed to bringing all their titles and all like focusing and even considering limited edition releases. We've seen nothing after that.
And it gets worse because, I mean, sure, the common refrain would be, oh, why didn't you just buy it digitally? Well, hey, guess what? There are problems there as well. As Pranay found out during his review of Sonic Mania. So what usually happens with Gadget 360 reviews is, even though we might be reviewing a game on a specific platform, we try to include pricing and availability for all the platforms it's available on. So Pranay stumbled into a situation with Sonic Mania where it's not available on Xbox One.
Yeah, it wasn't. I actually finished the whole review on, I think, the PS4. And after that, I went and looked on the Xbox India store. Now, first of all, like, if you think the PlayStation store is bad for search, etc., you go to the Xbox One store, the Microsoft store, and you try looking for things in your region. Now, if you're in the US, it just defaults to that and shows you everything. But if you want to search for something that's in the India store specifically, it's not very easy. So I, like, dug around and found multiple links to the India store, then finally managed to search something over there. And Sonic Mania just was not showing up. So I believe, Rishi, you got like you did mail them, but did they like comment on that eventually?
Yeah, so what was really amusing was the comment I got from Microsoft was, it's up to each publisher to figure out if they want to bring it in. Sega, for its part, was did not comment. But it's not just Sonic Mania. We figured it extends to a host of other games. For example, Firewatch, which is one of the greatest games of this generation, a perfect 10 from us, not available on Xbox One. Volume, another great game, which we reviewed, also isn't on the Xbox One.
Which released late on the Xbox
yeah,
One.
Yeah, much
it
later.
It didn't show up. Pranay's favorite, Darkest Dungeon, finally released on Xbox One, and
but
it's not available
not in India.
Yeah.
So it's a common, and forget that. These are smaller independent titles. So you could forgive the developer for not, you know, wanting to just flip a switch to make it available. But, you know, there's a big problem when Fortnite doesn't make it.
Hmm.
And the response from Epic Games at this point in time to us was essentially, oh yeah, we may have not launched it in India. Yeah, exactly. We may have not launched it in India. So we're trying to get more information on that, but this is what we know at this time.
Seems like they're not sure.
Yeah, and I don't blame them because, the thing is, even though, at least from what we've been given to understand, to launch a game on the Xbox One in a specific region is just a matter of ticking a box or flipping a switch. And it's not something they're willing to do.
Because one thing to note is, while in a lot of regions you need to get a specific rating to have it sold on a digital marketplace, India has, like, there's no rating board for India for games. It just follows PEGI rating because all console manufacturers, and even Steam now, they default to using PEGI for India, which is the European rating. So when you when you find a game on Xbox One, which is available here, it shows you the, even though it's India pricing, even on PlayStation with India rupee pricing, it shows you the PEGI rating. So it's not like they need to get a specific rating to sell it in India. And this just seems to be a problem with the Xbox store because on PlayStation, the only games which actually don't make it here, which are released in Europe, are like Dragon Ball and Digimon, which have like anime licensing issues. Now, in that case, you can kind of understand because obviously there's a rights issue. But on Xbox, I actually like go to the store and you see Bandai Namco anime sale and it has like a big banner which shows you Dragon Ball and One Piece and you click on it and there's barely anything there because none of those games are even listed here. So, yeah, it's not a good situation to be honest because like even if like indie games traditionally, like since the beginning of this generation, Sony's been pushing them quite heavily. Now Nintendo's pushing them. Microsoft has its own ID at Xbox program where they've recently celebrated milestone of $1 billion of revenue, I think, from that. And like, you know, they have 100 million hours played and all those figures they throw around. 100 million hours, exaggeration from my side. But like, what's the point if you can't actually buy the games there? Like, suppose Pranay had an Xbox and an iOS and an iPad. You want to pick up Darkest Dungeon to play it like with a controller or something. Nope, you can't. You got to pick it up on iPad.
And so, that's exactly why I don't have an Xbox, right?
Oh, just for Darkest Dungeon. Like, wow. Probably the only person in the world who is not buying an Xbox because it doesn't have Darkest Dungeon.
Come on, man. Sonic Mania as well.
Even more. So yeah, like, it's a problem because even if you want to buy stuff on Xbox, like both Rishi and I, like I at least like double and triple dip a lot of times and buy stuff on Xbox. So like you can't get the stuff. Like there's this game which released in on PlayStation Vita and on Steam called Stranger of Sword City. It's a dungeon crawler. It actually was Xbox exclusive first. That released in Europe and in North America with a free demo. But again, that game is missing over here. So we had to like import the Japanese only retail release to play it on Xbox. So, yeah, this is, like, not feasible for most people given customs charges over here. And, like, it's just adding more barriers to a platform which already has, like, very low and very poor mindshare among consumers in India.
Yeah, and what's amusing is that while this is the case, Microsoft seemed to be in a situation where they just claim it's fine. When we had spoken to them in the past, they said, yeah, digital adoption is very good. 4K adoption is very good. We're going to make sure things are available as people want it, where they want it, when they want it. But that doesn't seem to be the case because another thing we've heard, and this seems to be a common refrain at retail, is that if you want an Xbox One game, you more or less have to pre-order it. Because what a lot of retailers do is they only, according to them, distributors only place orders for Xbox One games if there's a pre-order for it and there's money put up front. Otherwise, they don't bring them in. As general rule of thumb, which basically means that you're in a situation where despite Microsoft saying they're going to be available in 100 plus stores, the reality of actually buying games is far from the case. You're essentially, if you're the sort of person who doesn't believe in pre-ordering, like I do, you're pretty much out of luck if you don't pre-order.
Yeah. So what I've noticed is that Microsoft is like intent on, basically it's like very, very keen on pushing the consoles that are like not actually going to sell very much in India. So for example, the Xbox One, when they first brought it here, like you said earlier, it was an Amazon exclusive. Now, if anyone who has like lived in India, like anyone, you ask anyone and they will tell you that in India, offline is the like real deal. Online only, online exclusive stuff, it does not really sell that much. And even like companies such as Xiaomi, who started out with an online flash sale only model, even they are expanding to offline. There are other companies such as the likes of Pepperfry and Urban Ladder who are realizing that. Yeah, even Lenskart. So they are realizing that, okay, we started as online only companies to disrupt everything. But in India, like offline, that having that tangible touch and feel experience is still very important. We may go to an online future, but it's not here yet. So all these companies are bringing in stores, and at the same time you have Microsoft, which is bringing in this console and keeping it online exclusive, which was not like a, I mean, it didn't make any sense whatsoever. And then secondly, as you mentioned, you launch a console at 40,000 in, you know, within the space of a month or so, it's available at 30,000 and going even less, sometimes to like 27, 26. So not looking good for you, is it? And then the Xbox One S, which is actually a pretty like reasonably priced console, all said and done, like in the US. I think you can buy it for $200 in the US, right?
Yes, yeah. Easily.
And yeah. India is what, close to 30, 32, which is horrifically bad.
Yeah, and also like if you look at parallel channels, such as the gray market, the Xbox One S is available for 15,000.
Yep, so for the 500 gig console, you're paying 15,000.
Yeah, so I can understand that there are taxes, there are other things to consider. But like the console that is actually likely to sell, which is super portable, which is which can be mounted vertically as well in your living room, and the one which is like reasonably priced in the US, why would you not bring that in on time? They brought it, I think, more than 1 year late.
Yeah,
and then the Xbox One X, which is priced at 45,000, which like hardly whatever 100 people are going to buy in India, that one you bring in like pretty much on time and price it at like 48,000 with the new taxation.
So here's the thing, and that's the funny part about the pricing. While I think I've had almost every retailer and distributor I speak to call me and tell me it's because they know I'm a big Xbox fan, sadly. Yeah, I have the taint. They called me and they're like, haha, your favorite console is now 3K, 4K higher from 45 to 40, 45, 49, yeah, 4K higher. And customs duty, essentially. And while that was the case, and Microsoft has officially communicated to them that yes, 48,990 is the new price for the One X, no one has listed that price, at least at the time of recording. So that's been, I think, almost a gap of 3 weeks. And we haven't seen that listed.
Because new units have not come in.
No. It's actually because so the units have come in at that price. No one's bought them yet because they're still selling 1X inventory. So what happened was in the 1X launch year, day one, it basically sold out because there's so few stocks to go around. Everyone got like 3-4 units and everything sold out. So yeah, I think your number of 100 is pretty much accurate. But after that, what seems to have happened is when they got their replenishment of the second run, before the 48,990 price was revealed to them, they're still holding on to those. Those haven't moved yet. Those seem to be the one or two units Mike's been seeing at retail. So right now we're in a situation where once those stocks go away at 45, the new stock at 49 comes in. And that's going to be interesting. I wouldn't fancy their chances too much, all things considered, because games are tough to find. And to be honest, if you don't even bring Sea of Thieves in at physical retail, I don't know what to say. And yes, I do understand there's a merit not to bring it in because, you know, it's a game that's available on Game Pass. You pay $6.99 for Game Pass. Why should you buy Sea of Thieves? But then at the end of the day, Sea of Thieves has done very well at retail globally. At the time of recording this podcast, it's the number one game in the UK at physical retail, which is shocking because when the game was announced to be on Game Pass, a lot of smaller retailers boycotted it. But it seems that consumers went and picked it up physical anyway. However, another thing to keep in mind, that at least I'd still categorize this success as empirical evidence, because in the UK, everything charts. I mean,
Ni No Kuni 2 was number 2 after this, and Ni No Kuni 2 is like a JRPG.
Yeah, and even that
which
charted.
Which those usually don't sell. I know Ni No Kuni is like quote-unquote brand value because for some reason people like the PS3 game, but that charted as well. So
you can't, I mean, again, but point is, it's evidence nonetheless, right? That it's still a thing. But and at the same time, it's also worrying, right? Because on one side, you have them, you have Microsoft India saying, yeah, we're here, we're doing stuff, we care, blah, blah, blah. On the other, they aren't actually putting their money where their mouth is and stuff isn't available. For example, the Sea of Thieves controller, it never came in officially. It was supposed to come in officially. It's just on Microsoft India site. But when you're trying to buy it on Amazon, Flipkart, or even eBay, you only get third-party listings from parallel importers. So my point is, what's going on here? And we've reached out to them for comments several times. And obviously, they're not willing to comment on what's going on to the point where they kind of wish we stopped asking them questions. But it's our job to ask questions because we have readers who want to know what's going on. We have readers who want to buy an Xbox One X or PS4 or a PS4 Pro, and they don't know which one to get. And as much as I hate to say it, even though I prefer the Xbox One X, we have to essentially recommend them a PS4 or PS4 Pro because at least we can guarantee some level of availability.
Yeah, so the PS4 Pro is much cheaper as well, right? It's 40,000, if I'm not mistaken.
It used to be 37,990. Now it's 41,990.
Yeah.
But even then, there are deals to be had across the board. You can still get it a little cheaper if you know where to look.
And they have these nice bundles as well, right?
Where with the Pro, there are no bundles.
No bundles.
Pro standalone. Right. But then Sony's been regular with supply. It's not like you're going to have a problem finding it. Even with games, it's not a problem. Even with third-party games, it's not a problem. Now, it's not to say Sony's perfect. They've had some high-level goof-ups in the past. We've seen it with Uncharted 4, where they brought too little quantity day one. We've seen it with Shadow of the Colossus, where the game came in late. It came in so late, and there were so many irate Indian fans who wanted the game on time that they ended up tweeting at Shohei Yoshida, who is the head of Sony Studios, and asking him what the heck is going on, why are you delaying the game for India. They even messed up with Horizon Zero Dawn, wherein the game came in 2 weeks late. But despite all of that, at least it was made available in a debatably reasonable time frame. I mean, it's like between the two evils in India, Microsoft and Sony, Sony seems to be the lesser of the two evils because there's actual availability. And it's even with third party. Like, we've seen it in the past. We've seen it in a situation where if the game is available on both Xbox One and PS4, chances are you'll always get the PS4 version even after release. So I think with Far Cry 5, what we saw in a couple of stores, they had, I think, 40, 50 orders for PS4 and maybe one or two for Xbox One. So it's that kind of situation. It has that kind of mind share. And it's nothing to do with Sony doing a good job. It has to do with Microsoft not being competitive. So that's another thing to keep in mind.
And another thing I've noticed, like for third-party games, even ones that traditionally don't sell well or games that didn't review too well, like say Mafia 3, on PS4 you can buy the deluxe edition, which has the game and the season pass with the hologram cover, for $2,499. Now the original price was either $4,499 or $4,999, depending on where you bought. The Xbox One version is still at that price. This is because for PS4, since the initial stock sells out, they can get a new shipment at a lower price because the game is older. While on the Xbox One, they still have day one stock sitting for some of these games. Like Deus Ex Mankind Divided is still $3,199 in most retail stores for the day one edition, Steelbook edition. While on PS4, you can get it for like $9.99 on Amazon, just because they had more of that or they've ordered new batches of that at lower prices.
Yeah, but in general, if you look at PS4 games now, like some of the best games that were available, whatever, like 2017, 2016, 2015 best games, all of them are going for around like 500, 700, 1000, max 2,499.
Yeah.
But on Xbox, everything is above 3,000.
And I think a lot of it also has to do with mentality. What it seems like is that Microsoft fails to understand that not every region works like the US and UK, where it's just day one sales and nothing else. They underestimate the power of back catalog. Outside a few games, it's tough to find Xbox One titles at a reasonable price. And what this essentially means is you can't grow an ecosystem and you can't grow anything if there's no support. Now, it's not to say that Microsoft haven't tried. On the Xbox 360 era, there were some also high-level goof-ups. There's a $90 million marketing campaign. Sorry, 90 crore marketing. Yeah, 90 crore marketing campaign, which basically bombed with celebrities and, you know, tried going the whole gamut. They were priced too high. It didn't work out. But at least they tried, and there was enough brand recall that they were able to sustain that generation all throughout.
And it was available at retail, and that Kinect really helped. Because Kinect, every time you went to a store, you could see people playing on the Kinect,
and
Kinect it was nice.
Worked, and at the end of the day, they got a decent bump. Even though, fine, all said and done, they never reached Sony levels where they did a max of, from what I've been given to understand, on the Xbox 360 era, the best case situation was, I think, 300 to 500 units a month. Sony was easily 3 or 4 times that amount.
Yeah, but all that marketing money they wasted, they should have just subsidized the Xbox a little and like made it more accessible to people.
Yeah,
that would have been the way to go.
But then at the end of it, at least they had some recall. Here it seems to be a situation where it's so one-sided that it's tough to recommend. And it basically means that consumers have lower choice. Consumers don't have any choice. It's essentially become a monopoly if you discount PC. And yeah, you have to discount PC because PC isn't available at physical retail.
Yeah, and secondly, PC hardware right now, thanks to these Bitcoin mining people, like it's gone to like crazy prices. It's like at almost what 50% or 70% higher than what it was earlier.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at in pure GPUs, if you want to buy something like a 1060, which is basically the go-to card at 1080p for 1080p gaming, it's almost 30-35k, which it shouldn't be.
You can get a PS4 or an Xbox One S at that price, right? Yeah. You can get a full console there.
Exactly. So it's just really disturbing. And to me, a lot of it has to do with the fact that Microsoft doesn't have anyone internally who understands gaming. And they're just trying to chug along with what they have. And it doesn't seem to be working. So...
Yeah, and it also doesn't help because like the big exclusive titles that they got in first party ones, like Sea of Thieves, not very good, are they? Like,
I don't think that really like that that's obviously matter. Something which is later. The fact that it wasn't even up for pre-order months or weeks leading on to release, that's the bigger problem than the actual quality of Sea of Thieves.
Yeah, so they sent us a review copy for Sea of Thieves, right? Like a proper chest and all, which we've put on our Instagram page.
That happened after we got the game and after we played it. But so here's the thing. It has nothing to do with the quality of the games. Because a lot of what sells in India sells because of global hype. It has nothing to do with actual quality. There are people who pick it up because they're curious. And even then, if you're not having a pre-order run, which is amusing, because if you're going to do it for a game like Forza and you're doing it for a Game of Gears, why not Sea of Thieves? It's a first-party title. Sony did it for No Man's Sky. And Sea of Thieves is essentially No Man's Sky for the Xbox One, but, you know, with giant Kraken and pirates. So my point is, there is no reason why it shouldn't have been done. And even if the game reviewed poorly, there's so much global hype around it that people will be curious enough to check it out. And that was a missed opportunity, in my opinion. So, to me, it just seems like they don't have anyone who understands gaming.
Yeah, it's true. Like, I 100% agree with you on that. Unfortunately, it doesn't seem like the situation is going to change anytime soon.
No, it doesn't. Which basically means is if you're married to the Xbox ecosystem, you're best importing your games, you're best looking at whatever digital deals you can find, or buying used. We have seen some success with places like CEX, stocking particularly Xbox 360 backward compatible titles, a ton of them.
Really cheap also.
Yeah.
They're like much cheaper than buying them digitally on Xbox Live, even though like Xbox Live, their deals are usually very good, but yeah, you can get them much cheaper at CEX usually. Like they have a ton of Xbox and PS3 games. Obviously PS3 games have no use on PS4, but yeah, Xbox 360, a lot of games can be played. Like, you can get Shadow of the Damned for 50 rupees, literally. And it's been, the cheapest it's been on Xbox Live is $5, as far as I know.
Even Crackdown on Xbox Live is 1,500 rupees. But at CEX, it's 100 rupees. So, I mean, there's if you're willing to go used and you're willing to slum it out, you'll find some really good deals. Particularly at places at CEX, particularly on eBay and on other popular gaming forums. But then if you're looking to buy day one, your best bet is either importing or pre-ordering. As much as I hate to say it, pre-ordering. Or worst of worst case, if you really don't mind paying the premium or buying it digitally. Those are your options, essentially. Now, we don't know if Microsoft, even though Microsoft right now globally claim they're for video game preservation and all that cool, nice sounding things, we don't know if that's actually going to be the case when the next Xbox rolls around, if there's a next Xbox. So you don't know how much backward compatibility, forward compatibility is going to go down there.
Yeah, that's one really good thing about the Xbox. So for some games such as The Witcher 2 and Red Dead Redemption, I think the Xbox One might just be like the cheapest and easiest way to just, you know, download and play.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, from a backward compatibility standpoint, it's fantastic. The only thing that's missing, in my opinion, is Max Payne 3. Mm-hmm. And the moment that comes there, it's like, yeah, there's no reason.
Yeah, but knowing Rockstar, they're probably like making GTA Online version 2018 right now and like have just forgotten all about it.
Yeah, so, but then like that's literally, in my opinion, the only game that needs to show up there. And maybe Need for Speed Hot Pursuit 2010. So yeah, those two. And that's, it's a good thing.
Yeah, and you get those with Game Pass, right? All those games.
Some of them.
Okay, not
but
all, yeah.
The problem with Game Pass is that there is essentially no user choice. Tomorrow a game you want isn't there, what are you going to do? You can't do anything about it.
Yeah, nothing.
So I don't know. I wouldn't recommend bothering with Game Pass. It's not something I would subscribe
to. Yeah, so backward compatibility aside, at this point, there's not much reason to go with the Xbox One. I think Forza Horizon 3 you know, probably the best title in the past 2 years that they've released.
Yeah, I'd safely agree with that.
Yes, and Cuphead is fun, it's amazing and all, but how much are you going to play that game? Like, you finish it once, you finish it twice in co-op mode, and then there's not much replay value. Whereas Forza Horizon 3, you can easily play for like some 70, 80 hours with the two expansions.
And then, I mean, even fine. And then if you look beyond that, there's Halo 5, which to me is still very good. The multiplayer is still a lot of fun. Gears of War 4, but then I still prefer Halo 5 because it's Halo. And then aside from these, you have Sunset Overdrive, which a certain friend of the podcast
is importing from Japan.
Despite owning, I think, 20 copies of Sunset Overdrive, probably more copies of Sunset Overdrive than have sold in the entire India region. hasn't even played the game yet.
Yeah, played 6 hours, come on.
Yeah.
Which in Mike's universe, 6 hours means nothing. It's basically he just like booted the game up and was staring at the artwork and textures and that's
totally,
it. Because it's the same guy who's played Xenoblade Chronicles 2 for like 220 hours or something.
Yeah.
Still going strong.
Yeah, exactly. So 6 hours is nothing.
So yeah, I mean, Sunset Overdrive is pretty good if you can find it. Rare Replay, which is a great collection of older Rare games. That's also worth it. But I mean, outside of these, it's a tough sell. I mean, Halo Wars is great if you like Halo. Halo Wars 2 in particular.
That's an RTS game, right?
Yeah, it was really good.
I think better played on PC, right?
No,
though?
Not really.
No, it's built for controller. The PC controls feel a little tacked on, to be honest. Cool. Like, but then, it's just there's too many barriers. So like, if you want, there's like a lot of stuff to keep in mind before you buy.
Yeah, like first of all, you'll need a really fast internet connection.
Yeah, just never underestimate that with the Xbox One X in particular. Even if you have the disc, you will still get some 30-40 GB additional
Sea of
downloads.
Is like the most recent example. If you have an Xbox One X, you still need to download 18 GB after you put the disc in and it installs. On the Xbox One S, it's about 9 GB.
And don't forget that many of these games, they are not very well optimized. So every time there is an update, you probably...
I wouldn't say that. It's just that... a lot of games just get more updates. Like Microsoft first party games, it's like sometimes if there's a system update available for the console, they also update some games, and those updates are like minimum 700-800 MB. Like even backward compatible games usually get those big updates. Like I think I've updated Mass Effect 1 about 4 or 5 times with like 600 or 700 MB each time, and these aren't like, you know, Xbox One X enhancements. It's just updates to the base game where they're like slowly improving the emulation for it or something like that. But games like PUBG, like 5 GB almost every week, and it still plays like garbage on the 1S. So,
But one thing to keep in mind is, yes, you'll need fast internet for the reasons Pranay and Mike mentioned. The other thing you'll also need to keep in mind is you'll need storage. And how much storage? Well, let's see. As someone who's owned an Xbox, who's been on the Xbox platform since 2014, I essentially, in addition to the 1 TB drive on my 1X, have an additional 4 TB of storage. And 4 TB of storage, because at the end of the day, with Games for Gold, you get a couple of games every month. Games for Gold is free games with your Xbox Live subscription. You need an Xbox Live subscription to play multiplayer, and you get Games for Gold, which is free games for Xbox 360 and Xbox One, playable on your Xbox One. So you get Games for Gold every month, so you'll have to download those. You have your own purchases, and then a review code shows up, which everything, more or less on everything on Xbox, is essentially digital now, at least if you're the sort who reviews stuff. So at the end of the day, 4 TB, and I think I'm down to my last 200 GB. So yeah, you'll need storage. Fast internet, you need a ton of storage. And if you're the sort of person who basically... who likes to share your streams and stuff, it's a little tougher on the Xbox, because ever since, as much as I hate to say it, removing Kinect is a bit of a problem, because unless you have a Kinect adapter and you have Kinect, you'll need to use a webcam to stream, and that is, I mean, yeah, you'll have to find a USB, you'll have to find a compatible webcam, and that's a separate expense in itself, so it's not as easy to do. And sharing information, sharing your streams isn't as easy as it is on the PS4. Recording footage isn't as easy on the PS4, to the point where I just take a dedicated drive, stick it in, and record footage under that directly, upload it separately. So I can't upload natively on the Xbox One if I do that, which is very weird. And if you're a sort of watches a lot of movie, a lot of TV, a lot of content, I mean, yeah, there is Netflix, there is Amazon Prime, they work well enough. But if you're the sort who watches things off a pen drive, for example, it needs to be in a certain format. You need to plug it in. You can't store it on the internal hard drive. That's become a thing this generation. You could do it with the PS3 last generation, but you've never been able to do it with Xbox. So these are just some of the quirks you'll have to keep in mind if you decide to go down that route. But I mean, as we said, and as we've been talking through, the reasons to bother have steadily decreased. It's like that bad slasher flick where every survivor, every teen gets killed off by a serial killer. That seems to be the Xbox situation right now. Friday the 13th.
Also known as PUBG, which is better played on Android and iPhone than on Xbox.
There's a reason for that. It's because the Xbox version essentially is a copy-paste of the PC port, of the PC. It's just a complete copy-paste. They retooled some of the controls at launch, but that was it.
And it even has like at least without some of the patches at launch, which you can't access that version anymore. People actually found that you can connect a keyboard and like access console commands to change the like graphics options and all that. But they obviously removed all that. But the iOS and Android version was built from the ground up by Tencent Studio Lightspeed. They recreated all the assets and it's running Unreal, obviously. But this was like built from the ground up for mobile. That's why it looks and runs better than Xbox One.
That's exactly what they should have done with the console version.
They should have, but they didn't. Apparently, they were just happy paying for timed exclusivity to an early access game and saying, lol, it's not on PS4. Literally that.
Yeah, but so, which is funny because, and I do agree here, is that, so I ended up playing PUBG on a Redmi 5. To give you guys some idea, that's a phone with 3 GB of RAM. It's got a Snapdragon 450 processor.
And it costs 899.
And it costs
8,999 rupees.
And that defaulted to the lowest setting on PUBG. And yet, it looked better than the Xbox One and Xbox One S versions of PUBG. The Xbox One X version is a lot better because the lighting and the textures seem a lot better. But otherwise, at low, on a 9,000 rupee phone, it actually ran quite well. And it's just shocking. It even ran cool. That's even more shocking. And I guess that goes to show what happens if you actually have a team that optimizes stuff. But I mean, yeah, who knows? I mean, right now it seems like a situation where you shouldn't exactly bother too much with the Xbox unless you're a dyed-in-wool Halo fan like me or a dyed-in-wool Forza fan like Pranay is. But Pranay likes to see his money grow rather than reduce, so he's not bothered just yet. But who knows? Around E3, who knows? Maybe Phil Spencer might take the stage and, you know, decide to blow our minds by announcing stuff that should have been announced day one when the Xbox One was announced back in 2012, 2013. But till that happens, you're better off considering your options.
I don't know. Slowly, it's been improving a bit. Like, insiders right now have access to finally share images to social media directly without uploading to OneDrive and without doing all that nonsense. So, yeah, like, you can share via Xbox Social now when that update hits. And for backward compatibility, yeah, it's really good. Like, I know a lot of people who've ended up buying one, but they've been buying one in the US because they've got deals over there for, like, $150 and $180 for the One S. And for a 4K Blu-ray player, that's a very good deal.
Yeah, I mean, despite our video producer, Gagan, having reservations about how the One S and One X play 4K, because the UI and interface is really horrid for that. It does seem to be, for 180, 150, you can't complain.
But it's safe to say that there are better 4K Blu-ray players out there. Like, I personally checked out some of them. I did extensive research on this. And for like $180, $200 is like a very good price point for a good 4K Blu-ray player, which won't play games, but which will do really good upscaling. Like, all your 1080p Blu-rays will look really good on a 4K display as well.
Okay.
That's from Sony. And there's one from Samsung as well. But yeah, if you go online and if you pick it up with like some deal or the other, you'll easily get these for like $160, $170, $180. So yeah, not the best 4K Blu-ray player out there, but if that is something that you want in one box, yeah, sure. It's a decent enough option.
Yep.
So yeah, is there anything else you guys want to talk about, or are we done here?
We are done for now.
Okay then, so we'll be back with a whole list of complaints about the Xbox One maybe a few months down the line. But
Who knows, we might just praise it.
Yeah, who knows if, you know, this fantastical vision of Phil Spencer coming and saving the world at E3 2018 comes true. So that's all we have for this episode of Transition, and we will see you with another episode next week. As always, don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram at Gadgets360. Write into us at podcast@gadgets360.com. And the music for this episode comes via Magnus Solai Paulsen, whose album PPP PPP is where the tracks are from. Thank you so much for listening.